Every year, the elderly Miss Rigby and the slightly older Miss Pinkerton, affectionately known to each other as Spud and Pinky, celebrated some part of Christmas by having a few glasses of port, a slice of plum cake, and a wedge of Cheshire cheese in the old air raid shelter that still stood, after so many years, under their bottom garden wall. Sort of thanksgiving for what we got through at the time, they would explain. Pinky was small and red in the face, with light blue eyes like little silver thimbles. After a few drops of what she called the you-know-what, she would glow hotly with mustard-like excitement and chatter with merriment, looking like a breathless Pekingese. Miss Rigby, Spud, was not so active. Her face was so like a large potato that the name Spud really suited her. She waddled everywhere with wheezy and jovial optimism, sometimes carrying large orange pumpkins about, nursing them in her arms like fat babies to which she had miraculously given birth. In the shelter, all the paraphernalia of wartime was preserved, as it had always been, and here Spud and Pinky sat on the afternoon of Christmas Eve, sipping port wine and munching cake and cheese. "We always seem to have good weather," Pinky said. "Goodness knows what we'd do if it snowed." "Do you remember how it snowed in 1940, Spud said, "and I blew so hard on the whistle to get Mr. Ackerley to come and dig us out, I thought I'd blow my teeth out." They laughed again at this, and Pinky poured more port. It didn't seem like Christmas until they were well on with the port, and they could hear the evening bells across the town. The candle always made a difference, too, and presently Spud said, "Let's have the candle alight, shall we, Pinky? I love the glow of the port in the candlelight." "Oh, I'll do it, Spud, dear, I'll do it. Don't move. Funny how the candle all of a sudden makes it seem dark outside. And then you see that wonderful blue in the sky and the first stars."
"They say the band will be coming this way on Christmas Eve this year," Spud said.
"Oh, do they? I didn't put their Christmas box ready. Do you think I ought to pop back and get it in case they arrive?"
"No, no, no, sit still. We shall hear them when they come."
"You mean we will if we don't drop off. You remember the year we both dropped off and slept through that awful raid?"
They laughed again at this stirring and hilarious memory, and Pinky poured out a further drop of port.
"I don't see it starting to rain, do I?" Pinky said,
and breathed on the shelter window, rubbed it with the sleeve of her coat and peered out.
"No, no, I don't think so. Oh, I tell you what I do see, though. There's somebody in the garden. Hello there. Who is it?"
An answering voice called, "Hello there." And Pinky said,
"Oh, it's you, Mr. Ackerley. We're in the shelter. Come in, Mr. Ackerley, if you can get in. Come and join us."
Mr. Ackerley, a tall, stooping figure looking rather like a pessimistic giraffe, appeared from the outer gloom, carrying a bottle wrapped in tissue paper.
"What a nice surprise," Spud said. "What brings you on Christmas Eve? You usually come tomorrow."
"Oh, I don't know."
Pessimism oozed out of Mr. Ackerley.
"After all, there might not be a tomorrow."
"Now don't start talking about the bomb again," Spud said. "It's Christmas Eve. Have a drop of port. Sit down. I don't like you standing up. You're so tall, I feel you'll lift our dear old shelter off its feet."
While Pinky ran across the garden to get another glass from the house, Mr. Ackerley sat down gloomily.
"Our dear old shelter," he thought, "whatever makes them do it every year."
Cheerfully, actually humming a few bars of Christian's Wake, Pinky came back from the house with a glass for Mr. Ackerley.
Just a modicum, Mr. Ackerley said. "No, that's ample."
The sight of Pinky pouring the port reminded Mr. Ackerley that he was the bearer of a gift. With a struggling sigh, he handed over the bottle as if it were the bomb itself. Spud ripped off the tissue wrapping of the bottle as if it concealed a new hat.
"Oh, our favourite whiskey. Nice man, thank you so awfully much. Kiss, kiss."
Mr. Ackerley suffered himself to be kissed first on one cheek by Spud and then on the other by Pinky.
"Well, cheers," Spud said. "Here's to Christmas and the best of luck in the future."
We'll need it, Mr. Ackerley said.
Everybody was saying that in 1940, Pinky said. And dear knows, they were the dark days.
And Spud laughed again and held out her glass. I'll have a drop more, Pinky, dear, please. I need fortifying.
Where, Mr. Ackerley thought, was there any possible cause for all this laughter? The terrible dark claw of everlasting oblivion was hanging over all of them. And the best these two could do was howl with laughter. You might have thought it was just some silly bun fight.
Shall we start the whiskey, Spud said. Oh, let's.
She drained her third glass of port, at the same time urging Mr. Ackerley to drink up, and held out her empty glass to Pinky, who immediately started to tot out whiskey.
Oh, by the way, Pinky said, we've got the most marvellous pumpkin chutney for you.
Pumpkin chutney, Mr. Ackerley thought. Pumpkin chutney. Ye gods, it was as if in the middle of an earthquake you sat trying to thread a needle.
He started to get up and say,
if you don't mind, I think I ought to be getting along.
Oh, no, you don't, Spud said. You're going to have some whiskey.
Well, do you mind if I don't mix it, Mr. Ackerley said. It really isn't good for me.
We'll have a nice piece of plum cake and some cheese. They go awfully well together.
Mr. Ackerley rejected the idea of cake and cheese and sat down again.
We got quite tight once, Pinky said, didn't we, Spud, dear?
Gloriously.
And when we awoke, the Ritz Cinema had gone, and Johnson's factory had gone, and the Baptist Chapel, and half the railway works, and we never knew a thing. The stars must have been watching over us that night. And suddenly Pinky said, oh, do I hear the band? I think I do.
A hush fell on the shelter. Pinky opened the door and leaned out, listening.
All the stars are shining, she said, and yes, yes, it's the band.
It was chilly with the door open. A draught swept about Mr. Ackerley's feet and legs.
They were playing O Come All Ye Faithful, Pinky said, but they've stopped now. I think I ought to go and get the Christmas box ready now. Now, how much? 5 shillings?
Oh, 10. After all, it's only once a year.
Outside in the street, the band struck up. It came upon the midnight clear. Spud drank and listened. Under the influence of port and whiskey, she had begun to feel merriment drive out contentment.
How you can sit there smiling, Mr. Ackerley said.
Oh, I was thinking of the man who plays the euphonium in the band, Spud said. Fred Sanders.
He isn't much bigger than the euphonium.
He taught Pinky to blow it last year. Just one note, of course.
Just then, thinking that she saw Pinky moving in the light of the house, she wobbled to the doorway of the shelter and called,
"Is that you, Pinky, dear? Who's collecting tonight? If it's Fred, bring him over for a tot."
The band now struck up Silent Night, and the melancholy beauty of the tune suddenly drove Mr. Ackerley to the verge of tears. He stifled a sob, and in order to do so, drank half a glass of port very quickly, gulping loudly. Spud took the opportunity to top up his glass, and a moment later Pinky was back, bringing Fred Sanders, who in turn had brought his euphonium. Fred was dressed in a maroon-coloured bandsman's uniform, with a matching peak cap, with the words, Temperance Silver Band, ringed across it.
Nice to see you, Fred. Happy Christmas. Port or whiskey, Spud said.
Well, I've been on whiskey, except for a couple of beers before we started.
Whiskey it had better be, Spud said. Come in anyway.
Fred, who propped up his euphonium by the door, had a way of laughing that was discordant but not unpleasant. And his voice inspired both Pinky and Spud to fresh merriment, and they blessed him with cheers and a happy Christmas and many of them.
Mr. Ackerley here thinks this'll be the last one we'll ever have, Spud said.
Eh, good blimey, why?
The bomb.
Oh, to hell with a bomb, Fred said.
Now you hear what Fred says, Spud asked Mr. Ackerley. To hell with the bomb.
Pinky began to laugh with little shrieks and asked if Fred was going to give them a tune on the euphonium, like he did last year.
Well, I might if I get another wet, Fred said.
"That's right. Let's all have another wet," Spud agreed. "Mr. Ackley, what about another drop?"
To Mr. Ackley, it all seemed a terrible heresy. The port had filled him with revulsion, and suddenly he felt the draught from the door climb up his spine like a chilling, long-legged spider. Fred watched his glass being filled by Pinky with relish. He quickly knocked back his whiskey, gave a laugh, and then asked what it would be. The tune, he meant.
"Oh, play what you played for us last year," Pinky said. "You said it was your favourite one."
"Eh, but that ain't a carol."
"Well, I know it isn't, but I like it all the same."
"Little Brown Jug, wasn't it?" Fred said. "Yeah, I remember now."
To Mr. Ackley, it was all shocking. But as the noise of the euphonium rang through the shelter, he was equally shocked to see both Spud and Pinky singing loudly and then dancing round hand in hand. Suddenly Spud shouted, "Happy Christmas to everybody! Let them all come!"
"Are we downhearted?" Fred asked, and got from the ladies a thunderous, "No!"
Only Mr. Ackley was downhearted. The euphonium and the singing were too much for him, and he sought refuge in the garden, shivering.
"What about me blowing a note now, Fred?" Pinky said. "Like last year."
"Eh, good idea," Fred said. "Blow the old raspberry."
So out in the garden, Pinky embraced the euphonium, pointing the horn to the sky. She'd almost forgotten which of the vowels to press, but Fred put her right on this and urged her,
"Go on, give it all you got. Ready? A one, a two, a three."
Pinky blew hard, instantly producing what Fred called a bit of a rag-tearer, a rude, single blast that rose on the night air with something like defiance, mocking the darkness.
"Oh, splendid," Spud said. "Here, what price our new bandsman, Mr. Ackley?"
"Hey, Mr. Ackley's gone," Fred said. "You blowed him to kingdom come."
Mr. Ackley's sudden departure was a signal for another trio of laughter and another whiskey for Fred. The ladies kissed him on both cheeks so that his cap was knocked askew, with the result that the words temperance silver band were very much to one side.
"Well, I must be going," Fred said. "Never catch the others up."
"Goodbye, Fred. Lovely seeing you. Happy Christmas."
"Let them all come," Fred said. "That's what we say."
Like a silver ghost, the euphonium passed across the garden. When it had disappeared into darkness, Pinky and Spud stood framed in the doorway of the shelter, looking up at the sky. The laughter was over now.
"Shall we thank our lucky stars, Pinky dear?" said Spud. "We always do."
In silence, they held up their glasses to the stars.
"They always look so awfully eternal somehow, don't they, Spud dear?"
By this time, the band was playing again, now further away, and the sound of bells was bright across the town.
"Yeah, that's the way they always look to me," Spud said. "But then, I like to think we're a bit of the old eternal, too."